we want it to be an active, lively, ongoing, progressing church. So the question is, what should we do? As you know, I'm not much of a theorist. I'm more a sort of practical person where tell me what there is to do and I'll just get on with it. I'm a bit more practical like that. But that's not much help at the beginning. And there is that need to plan before we go ahead. And in our planning, obviously, we need to pray that God would show us clearly how we should proceed from here. So my thoughts went back to the Old Testament and to see if I could find some inspiration. Now, there was a point in time when the children of Israel had been led out of Egypt. I'm sure you know all this, so I won't fill in all the background. They'd crossed the Red Sea and they were being led by God towards the promised land. Now, Moses went up the mountain to hear from God instructions of what they should do. Well, I'll miss out the bit where they turned away from God and started to worship idols. And remember the golden calf and all that? Well, God forgave them and he turned them back to himself. And at this point, God was telling him about the future. He said, I want you to build a tabernacle. And in particular, I want you to build the tent of meeting. And he gave all the instructions of what to do for this. So when he went down, here, Moses got together all the people, and the first thing he said is, I want you to give an offering. And this was the request to those people. And if you want to go with me, it's Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 4. I'll just point out at this moment, God is not expecting us to give all these things we're going to read out, okay? Could be tricky, but we'll come to why we're reading it in a moment. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, verse 4, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tent and its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts and bases, the ark with its poles and the atonement cover and the curtain that shields it, the table with its poles and all its articles and the bread of the presence. The lampstand that is for the light with its accessories, lamps and oil for the light, the altar of incense with its poles, the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, the curtain for the doorway at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the bronze basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs for the tabernacle and for the courtyard and their ropes, the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him, came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry, and all kinds of brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Now that's quite a list. And as I say, we can't take that as what's needed here, because that's not what it is. But how could they provide all this? And if you remember back just a few weeks, months, however long it was, when the Lord led them out of Egypt, he made the people generous towards the children of Israel. And they gave them all these things. And verse, let me see. I've lost my place now. Oh, that's right, yeah. Chapter 12, verse 36 puts it like this. They plundered Egypt. And plundered, you know, really has a meaning to it, that they really took the job lock sort of thing. And that gives you an idea of how much they were given. So it was all there. But the important bit was in verse 5. Everyone who is willing is to bring an offering for the Lord. Those two words are so different, so important. First, he is looking forward, looking for willing people to be part of this project. That's a question we can ask ourselves. How willing are we to be part of the future from now? How willing are we to give what we have to the Lord? And that was the other bit. The offering was not to Moses. They haven't come to bring it to Moses. Important though Moses was, it was the Lord they were giving it to. And when we give our offerings on Sundays, whether it's through an offering or through the bank, whatever, the offering is not to the church, it's to the Lord, for the Lord to use in the church or through the church. And that's what he wants us to have in our mind, to be willing and ready to give what we have to the Lord. Now, Mike touched on this a little bit in what he said at the beginning. What we do in the future and what we give must be to the Lord, not to the elders. And we don't want it to be the elders' master plan that we're following, because that could lead to disaster, because we're the four or five of us will be all different ideas. It's not our joint decision. It's the church coming together, seeking what the Lord is leading us all to do. We are no more important than you. In fact, we are your servants. If you want to lead, Jesus said, you've got to be prepared to be a servant. And if we want to be part of what God's plan and what we're aiming to do as a whole church family fellowship, must be for God, his glory, because we're doing it with what he has given us, the ability to do, the ability to give. And really, we're just giving back to God what he has given us already. And it may be in the form of tangible money or goods, in time, work, effort, and the things that we do. Because it takes time. We have to give up our time to do that. But it's not our time to give up, is it? It's the Lord's time that he's given us to do what he wants us. And I do love those two verses in chapter 35, 20 and 21. There's a lovely picture in my mind It says, then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence. You could sort of feel it of melting away. And they must have been sort of chattering as they go and thinking about what they got, what he said, and so on. But it's not as if they just melted away. And then everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him. And that's where we have got to get that right. Is it our heart that's making us do it? Is God moving our heart to do what we've got to do? Because without the heart in it, we don't do it very well, do we? There's a bit of, well, that'll do. Or is, I want to do my best. And there's a big difference. And they came and brought an offering to the Lord, and so on. And so that was just a lovely picture of just everybody heard the request, just melted away, thought, I'm going to go and see what I've got. And then they started to bring. Now, there may have been hours, days before that all happened, but you can just picture it. And, yes, we got that, we'll bring it. And obviously, there actually came a point when Moses had to say, stop. We've got enough. So how much they did. And they said their hearts were in the offering, so there were no regrets. Nobody did it begrudgingly. And that's something we've got to not let the devil do. In a sort of slightly different way, but Joy and I sort of, over the years, we've worked with different people, and some people seem to be able to manage very big houses. Some people seem to manage lovelier, much better cars. They go off for the weekend skiing, or they do lovely summer holidays and spend a long time away. And they seem to have such a much more wonderful life. With exactly the same money, because we're working with them with the same thing. And it's easy for the devil to say, yeah, they're much better off than you. Yeah, they're doing much nicer things than you. But those things, when they're finished, are gone. What we're doing with our weekends and during the week and evenings, or whatever, we're doing for the Lord. And that is for eternity. And that's what we have to remember, that what we're doing is for eternity, for the Lord, and he will bless us. And we can honestly say the Lord has blessed us, and we have got no regrets for not having all the things that the other people have got. I'm not saying they're not nice people, they're lovely people, don't get me wrong, but we're not disgruntled. And we love giving and we love doing, and we know it's for the Lord and it's for eternity. So here's a question. What can we learn from them? And so Mike touched on it earlier, said we need God's plan. Yeah. We need to be willing to give. We need to do what needs to be done and not leave it for others to do. It's easy to think, well, they're better than I am. They can do that. They've got more time. They've got more money. It's easy to think other people can do it. And I'm not proposing now or asking you now to try and decide now what needs to be done. But in your own mind, and as you pray about this, hopefully there will be an opportunity to share what you think the Lord is saying to you. The Lord wants you to be part of it. And if we're praying and asking the Lord to guide us, we will have agreement and we'll see what that plan is. So at some point there should be that conversation. And then we can work out how we can do it then after that, and who is going to do it. Moses was a very good servant of the Lord, and that's what we must be, good servants first, especially if we're going to lead. Jesus showed a very good, going on to Jesus, he showed us a very good example of how to be a leader. He did it by just washing the disciples' feet. He said, if you want to be a leader, let me show you. And he washed the disciples' feet. Now, that was the job of the lowest servant in a household. When they arrived, every part of them is clean except the feet. They wore sandals and it was dusty and they got dirty. So the servant will wash their feet. And as elders, we are here to serve the Lord and to serve you all in what we do. And we're not afraid to get our hands dirty. Often, when we're doing things that not many other people would do, it's an opportunity to actually show God's love, to share God's love and be a witness. You know, Gary and I were close to that with his friend Dean at Jonathan's house. So some of the clothes that we're trying to get move out of the flat are going to Will Niven and the family. And so we were able to talk about the fact that he's going to a missionary from our church. And they feel like the door is beginning to open into talking about church. And then from then on, I think we're getting to know him well enough to perhaps invite him to a breakfast one Sunday morning. Right, but you know, the contact was still be there for a while, weren't it? So, you know, and it seems like little ways that the Lord, because of the hard work that Gary especially is doing, these opportunities do open up. Well, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 5. It tells us there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So it wouldn't do if we were all clever at one thing, would it? Because we'd only be able to do one thing cleverly. But we've all got different skills, different abilities that he's given us. Sometimes we don't think it's important. Sometimes we don't think it's necessary or whatever. But all the things that we could do together add up to a big team of good, willing, working people. And it's very important that we remember it's the same God that's given you your abilities, that's given somebody else their abilities, that's given me and my abilities. It's that same God who's, you know, I think if we all asked each other, there's not many of us that have done the same job in life. As teachers, obviously, all the same job, same stress, but, all done different kinds of things. And but it's the same God that's doing that work through us. And if you're not sure about what you could do, what does the Bible say? Ask. Ask. And there's usually something you can do. Sunday mornings when we're doing the cooked breakfast, the number of people that come and say, is there anything I can do? And I try my hardest to find a job. I don't like to say no, but just occasionally I say no. I'm sorry, there's so many people helping that you'd all be picking up the same plates and moving them or whatever. So, but God will never say, I've got nothing left to do. He always give you something to do. And Paul He recognised that some people's job is to prepare other people for works of service. And that's, if you like, we're teaching, apprenticeship, training, whatever. You know, we can help somebody else to learn how to do things. That young Michael there, that one, over the years, we've done little jobs in the church, or big jobs, and I've watched Michael working, and he's a very clever man, and he's shown me how to do lots of things, and I've now got the confidence that, yeah, I could have a go at that, except electrical. I'm not good at electrical, but, he's shown me, and whether he was intentionally teaching me so that I could carry on after him, I don't know, but it's worked. And I know other people are showing other people what to do, and it's the work continues then, doesn't it? And don't be afraid to share what you know with other people. And in Ephesians 6, verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So it doesn't matter what your status is in life, as far as God's concerned, you are the most important person. Okay, serve wholeheartedly and he will bless what you do, because it makes a big difference to how we work when we know that we're doing it for the Lord and we want it to be the best and not that'll do. And going back to the tent of meeting, all the workers must have done a brilliant job, because in the last few verses of Exodus 40, let's just quickly go back to that. The last few verses there, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they were set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. And it wasn't just for the children of Israel, it was also for their enemies outside. When they saw the cloud and the fire, they knew God was present. And let's look for the Lord to be pleased to be present as we worship here. And we serve him in outreach, a witness to many more people, and see his blessing on us as a witness. And we encourage others to come to the church and hear more about him, our Saviour. May our hearts be in all we do as we willingly give and serve to God. And many years later, Solomon built a temple that replaced the tabernacle. And when he had finished, God said to Solomon, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifice. Wouldn't it be lovely if God chose this place to be where he wants to do his work, to be here and just love us, make us shine, and to serve him and reach out. And it was Jesus that paid the final sacrifice, because he chose this place as a temple for sacrifice. That's stopped now, as you know. Jesus paid the final sacrifice with his death on the cross. He rose from the dead to make a way for us to come into the Father's presence. And that was through the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. So let's pray that God will hear our prayers and bless us in this place. Mm-hmm.